الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فختم المؤلف رحمه الله تعالى حديثه عن مقام التوكل على الله سبحانه وتعالى
بتطبيق
بعض الآيات القرآنية الكريمة
by describing some of the Quranic verses that recommends relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
يعني الاعتماد على الله وتفويض الأمر إليه، الاعتماد على الله وتفويض الأمر إليه،
relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and leaving matters to him, and to trust and have good trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His wisdom and grace. These ayahs prove that relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is obligatory. And the Shaykh has recited the verses in the book. This is the story of Musa when he was telling his people to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you truly believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they replied that we have relied on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Musa was telling them that all Muslims are commanded to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وقال تعالى إن ينصركم الله فلا غالب لكم وإن يخذلكم فمن ذا الذي ينصركم من بعد.
Another verse that says, and if Allah makes him victorious, then there will no one to beat you, and if he makes you lose, then there will be no one that could make you victorious. So basically, that there is no victory without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
لا تستطيعون أن تنتصروا إذا خذلكم الله.
So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills that you should not win, there is no way that you would win. This is another proof that one must rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to believe that victory comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone.
إن أرادني الله بضر هل هن كاشفات ضر أو أرادني برحمة هل هن ممسكات رحمته قل حسبي الله عليه يتوكل المتوكل.
And this is about this another ayah using Ibrahim. So the first verse was using Musa, the second verse was Ali Amran, and the third one now is Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. So these are all examples of the prophets. And this one he is talking about when Abraham alayhi salam was speaking to his people in his village, and he was telling them how could these statues and these idols do any good for him. Then he commanded them to say, حسبي الله, meaning that Allah is enough for me in all matters, that Allah is enough for me in my daily life.
ذكر الله هذه الكلمة حسبي الله في جلب المنفعة تارة وفي دفع المضرة تارة.
So حسبي الله is a famous, حسبي الله is a famous word that is used in both words, that Allah is sufficient for me in both good things, that Allah is sufficient for me in blessings and in easing life for me, and as well حسبي الله also could be in pushing away the evil, as حسبي الله means also that Allah is enough, that he will be the protector, he protects me against
This
is the story of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when the hypocrites were given some money. And these people were not content with the money that they received from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But they said حسبون الله سيؤتينا الله من فضله, meaning Allah is enough and Allah will give us from his bounty.
في جلب المنفعة.
So in this case, it was used in the case of benefits, as the Shaykh stated earlier. This is the first example when he said, Hasbunallahu yu'tina min fadlih, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient and he will give us from our bounty, meaning that Allah was enough for a benefit. And the next ayah, in the case of Ghazwat Uhud, when the Muslims lost, and the Muslims heard that the disbelievers had beat the Muslims, it has returned, the news has arrived to the other Muslims who weren't fighting in the battle.
الذين قال لهم الناس إن الناس قدموا على قال لهم الناس اللي هم إيه الذين نقلوا
The hypocrites then when they heard the news, the hypocrites were telling, especially Abu Sufyan, who was the nemesis of Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So these hypocrites told to the other Muslims, they said, oh, that people have grouped against you and they're about to take you. And then the other Muslims who believed in Allah truly, they said, Hasbunallah, meaning Allah is sufficient for us and He will repel this attack against the Muslims, inshallah. And He will provide victory for the Muslims.
وَإِنْ يُرِيدُوا أَنْ يَخْدَعُوكَ فَإِنَّ حَسْبَكَ اللَّهُ هُوَ الَّذِي أَيَّدَكَ بِنَصْرِهِ إذا أرادوا أن يخدعوك إذا أراد المشركون أن يخدعوك
In Surah Al-Anfal also when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم And if they want to betray you, then Allah is sufficient for you. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَسْبُكَ If they want to betray you, then Allah is sufficient for you. This is in Surah Al-Anfal. So these are examples of either using Hasbi Allah, Allah is sufficient in terms of benefit, or in repelling evil.
وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ رَضُوا مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ سَيُؤْتِينَا اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَرَسُولُهُ إِنَّا إِلَى اللَّهِ رَاغِبُونَ يَتَضَمَّنُ الْأَمْرَ بِالرِّضَى وَالتَّوَكُّلِ
So the first ayah, the Shaykh is summarizing it again, that the first ayah showed that here the reliance here was a reliance showing satisfaction of the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
أورد هذه الآية الكريمة التي جمعت بين التوكل والرضا.
So this the first حسبي الله groups between reliance and satisfaction. Reliance on Allah and satisfaction of His will. When you say حسبي الله, or Allah is sufficient for us, it means that we are reliant on Allah and we are satisfied by His will.
من تعريفات التوكل الثقة في كفاية الله والاعتماد على الله وتفويض الأمر إليه. فهو حسبنا الله يعني الله يكفينا. يعني يقودها الإنسان واثقا في كفاية الله وهذا معنى التوكل ولو أنهم رضوا ما آتاهم الله ورسوله هذه فيها الإيه؟ الرضا فإذن هذه الآية يعني أمر الله تعالى فيها بالرضا والتوكل عليه السلام
So that ayah contains both satisfaction and reliance
يكتنفان المقدور يعني يحيطان به يكتنفان يعني يحيطان به واحد قبله واحد بعده فالتوكل قبل وقوعه والرضا بعد وقوعه
So he said here, in this case, there was reliance before the happening of the event. And then, once the event happened and had occurred, then it was acceptance of Allah's will.
So
before an event happens, before a good happens, you always have the good thought of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you expect that goods will happen to you. So you rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the unforeseen. And you believe that Allah will bring you good and push away evil from your path.
يعني قدر الله تعالى شيئا يعني قد المقدور هذا قد يوافق يعني ما تحبه نفسك وقد
And Allah's will, whatever He wills for you, sometimes it might be of which you had desires and sometimes it might have not.
مثلا خسارة لشيء من المال يقدر عليه.
He says, for example, maybe you lost some money during business transactions and such. Once this event happens, then you have to be satisfied with Allah's will. Here you have to be content with whatever Allah willed for you, whether it be good or bad. What is the proof of this? What is the proof that satisfaction is, happens after an event? And this happened, and for an example, it was a supplication that Rasulullah used to use after his prayers. From your knowledge, only you have knowledge of the unseen, and with your powers on the creation, provide me what you know, provide me some knowledge on this life. Provide me from what you know, whatever is good in this life.
And
ensure that my death is a good death. Oh Allah, I am asking you that I fear you. That I fear you
in the unseen.
So he's saying here that, oh Allah, provide me with fear for you when I'm alone, meaning when I'm in my home or in public when people see me.
في الغضب والرضا من بعض الناس
and I seek the truthful word when I am angry and when I'm happy because some people might say say untruthful things or you know mean things when they're upset. So the Muslim asks Allah that he says the truth and he says the rightful words in both both satisfaction or anger.
من رضي عنه بالباطل ويصف بما ليس فيه واحيانا اذا غضب برد بالعكس يسلبه مخيفا فالمؤمن يطلب من الله تعالى ان يوفقه لكلمه الحق في الغضب والرضا واسالك القصد في الفقر والغنى يطلب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من الله تعالى القصد هو الاعتدال القصد اي الاعتدال.
And then further Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him that he gives him a middle path when it comes to a middle path in terms of spending, either in when he's rather rich or poor. He's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him that middle path between stinginess and squandering the wealth. And I ask you, and further he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a blessing that never ends.
قرة عين لا تنقطع يعني متواصلة لا نهاية لها. اللهم إني أسألك الرضا بعد القضاء. هذا موضع الشاهد.
So now we get to the part where the proof is. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم asked. Oh Allah, I am asking you satisfaction after your verdict. So after something happens, I am requesting that I'll be satisfied of that outcome. So whatever Allah decrees upon you, you shall be satisfied with it. Then the dua continues and it says, and I ask you the cool of life after death. And this is an Arabic term for the old Arabs. So when they say barad al-aish here, or the coolness of life, is because with the Prophet ﷺ, the Arabs were in the desert. He was uncomfortable. It was very hot in the desert. So he's asking for coolness during the death, because when you are cool in the desert, that is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So meaning that once I die, I am having a good afterlife. And further, the Prophet ﷺ asked, and I ask you the privilege of seeing you, of seeing your face.
وأسألك الشوق إلى لقائك في غير ضراء مضرة ولا فتنة مضلة. يعني
And I ask you further,
the
impatience to see you, and without any evil or any fitnatun that might lead me astray.
اللهم زينا بزينة الإيمان وجعلنا هداة مهتدين.
And he further asks, O Allah,
garnish
us with the beauty of Iman, with the beauty of faith.
من حديث عمار بن ياسر رضي الله عنه.
And guide us from the guidance of the righteous ones. And this was narrated by Ahmad al-Nasa'i from the hadith of Ammar ibn Yasir.
فأوجز فيها يعني خفف الصلاة عما هو معتاد يعني كان من عادته يعني أن يصلي أطول من هذا فصلى صلاة فأوجز فيها عمار بن ياسر صلى صلاة فخفف فيها يعني عما هو معتاد إيه
And Ammar ibn Yasir is a famous companion. He's saying that
لعمار بن ياسر رضي الله عنه قال بعض القوم لقد خففت الصلاة. بعض الناس قالوا له إيه لقد خففت الصلاة. قال أما على ذلك فقد دعوت فيها بدعوات سمعتهن من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. يعني قال أنا قلنا لا خففت الصلاة لم
He was once, this companion was there in the prayer. They said, oh, you have made the prayer short. He said, by Allah, I have used the same supplications that I've heard Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam use, which is the minimum requirement that one should use in the prayer. So this is one of the du'as that he used. This is one of the du'as that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to use during the prayer that we cited previously. That this could be used as a dua during the late night prayer or during prostration. So he's going back to the proof that we conclude from this hadith as his dua is when the Prophet ﷺ asked for satisfaction after the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
فهو عزم على الرضا لا حقيقة الرضا. أما ليكون قبل حصول القضاء.
And then there's another type of reliance that is before what happens, during, before Allah's will, Allah's verdict. It is a time when you are predicting that you will be satisfied by Allah, and you rely on the fact that you would be satisfied by Allah's satisfaction, by Allah's decree. When somebody would say, oh, I will be satisfied by whatever Allah's wills. But they're saying, the Shuyukh said that this is not true satisfaction. This is not true satisfaction, because satisfaction only takes place after the decree of Allah, not before. So this is really a pseudo satisfaction.
يعزمون على الرضا قبل وقوع البلاء فإذا وقع انفسقت عزائمه.
So they said some people would claim that they are satisfied before that any problem takes place. So they say we are satisfied by Allah's will before an event even took place. That whatever happens, we will be satisfied for Allah's will. And any time that it actually takes place, then they would change their mind, they'd be upset about the happening. And then they go into telling the story of Salmun. He used to ask Allah, this slave used to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whichever way you want to, you could test me. Because he was so satisfied with Allah's will.
And then
and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it that he could not urinate 11 days and he was rolling on the floor as a snake. I believe 14 days, and he was rolling on the floor from pain because he could not urinate.
كتاتيب الأطفال تحفيظ القرآن ويفرق الجوزة على الصبيان ويقول ادعوا لعمكم الكذاب.
And then he would walk around where the young children would be learning the Quran, and he would hand out almonds, and they would ask, oh please ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve me.
فلما أطلق بوله لما سقي يعني بعد 14 يوما.
After 14 days when he was cured.
قال ربي قد تبت إليه.
Then he said, oh Allah, I have repented to you. Because he wasn't truly relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he wasn't truly satisfied with his will. There's a hadith in Sahih Muslim from Anas, related from Anas radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet visited a man that was so sick that has become as thin as a chick.
فقال له رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كنت تدعو بشيء أو تسأله إياه.
He said, have you been supplicating to Allah or asking him something specific? Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم asked the sick person if he was supplicating to Allah.
اللهم ما كنت معاقبي به في الآخرة فعجله لي في الدنيا.
And then the sick man replied, yes, I used to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whatever you were going to punish me in the afterlife, make it happen in this life instead.
فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سبحان الله لا تطيقه أو لا تستطيعه.
He said, سبحان الله, you cannot support such a punishment. He said, instead, ask, اللهم أعطني في الدنيا حسنة في الآخرة حسنة وقني عذاب النار. Oh Allah, I ask you in this life, blessings in this life and blessings in the afterlife, and save me from the punishment of the hellfire. So he's summarizing that the true satisfaction is when it happens after that an event happens, not before. As these examples denote.
ينوي أن هذا لكن يعني يظل عنده يطلب من الله تعالى أن يعينه ويثبته إذا حصل بلاء. بس الأصل أن المؤمن لا يطلب البلاء ولا يتمنى وقوعه قبل وقوعه, يطلب من الله تعالى العافية. يعني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول للعباس, يا عم أكثر من سؤال الله العافية.
Then he said, instead you should ask for
أكثر من سؤال الله العافية.
For peace and satisfaction in this life. And he used to ask Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he used to tell Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for peace and satisfaction in this life and in the afterlife. And this peace and the life in the afterlife really means that either Allah would save him from any harm, or if a harm happens, he would handle it well and be satisfied by Allah's decree. There are others who would say that I will be patient, but then when some bad event happens, they no longer are patient. And satisfaction by Allah's will is a high status in the iman and in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That patience is at a lower level compared to satisfaction with Allah. So because if you're patient, you are just patient from the difficulties that Allah has testing you with, but when you are satisfied, that is a notch higher. in the blessings and in terms of faith. And it shows that you are closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
يعني ليس فقط انه صابر لا يتسخط على قدر الله بل ايه زياده على هذا انه راضي كانه يعني انعم عليه يعني ينظر الى هذا البلاء يعني يحصل له رضا بقضاء الله تعالى يقول بعض الناس يعني يعزم على الرضا او يعزم على الصبر قبل حصول البلاء
so some people would say that they would be patient or they would be satisfied before a bad event happens both of these are incorrect
قال كما قال تعالى ولقد تمنون الموت من قبل أن تلقوا فقد رأيتموه وأنتم تنظرون.
In Surah Al-Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
تمنون الموت من قبل أن تلقوا فقد رأيتموه وأنتم تنظرون. قالوا هذه كان في غزوة أحد يعني.
And this is during غزوة أحد.
غزوة أحد وكذا يعني كان بعض الصحابة الذين لم يشهدوا غزوة بدر كانوا حزينين أنهم إيه
Those for this is about some companions who didn't attend Ghazwat Badr, and they wanted to die during that Ghazwa. And then this ayah says that when you wish that you would die, then when you say it, so with your own eyes, nothing really happened. And then another ayah, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, in Surah Saf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to people, or you will believe, why do you say what which you do not do? That is the most hatred to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you say something that you don't do. This is because some companions said, oh Prophet of Allah, if we knew which actions were most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would do it. But then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah on jihad, some people didn't like it and some people were upset about this ayah. The same people who went and asked the Prophet, oh, if we knew what was most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would do. So they said which that they don't do.
هذا الذي يحبه قال فلما ايه نزلت يعني
the ayah was indeed Allah loves those who fight for his sake in rows as if they were as walls of concrete So this was the ayah that was revealed. This verse was revealed, and then people were very unhappy about this ayah. The same people who asked the Prophet about which actions are most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
لكن طبعا هنا الكراهة هي الكراهة الفطرية يعني الجبلية التي يعني لا تتنافى مع الإيمان يعني الكراهة التي حصلت من الصحابة رضي الله عنهم
So he's saying that these people that hated this decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala it does not push us to question their faith.
فقد غفرت لكم سبحانه وتعالى وأهل بدر قال الله تعالى فيهم إيه وإن فريقا من المؤمنين لكارهون
Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say in another verse afterwards that a subsequent group of the mu'mineen or the believers would be hateful or haters about this decree, about fighting in the sake of Allah and risking your life for the sake of Allah.
فهذه الكراهة اللي هي الجبلية يعني لما في القتال يعني تعرض يعني للقتل وتعرض للجراح وتعرض للأسر وتعرض لكذا فهذه الكراهة الجبلية التي
So all these fighting for the sake of Allah is a lot of dangers. You could get killed, you could get injured, you could be enslaved, you could become a prisoner of war. All of these sacrifices are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it was difficult for a lot of people to accept.
فهذه الكراهة الجبلية يعني معفونة
So this hate is normal sometimes in some people who have a weaker iman or weaker faith. Although they were patient, their nafs, their inner selves were hateful towards this decree.
أن يتعرض للبلاء لأن يوجب على نفسه ما لا يوجبه الشارع عليه بالعهد والنذر ونحو ذلك. كل هذا لم يعني هذا مرتبط موضوع من الرضا يكون بعد القضاء ان قبل القضاء هذا عزم على رضا. والإنسان إذا عزم على رضا لا يدري هل سيرضى أو لا يرضى، كما لو عزم على الصبر قبل البلاء لا يدري هل سيصبر أو لا يصبر. لهذا يكره للإنسان أن يحمل نفسه إيه.
So this shows that somebody should not say, oh, no matter what happens to me, I'm going to be patient. Whatever happens to me, I'm going to be satisfied, because you are putting a burden on yourself that which you might not be able to handle. And Allah does not want that for you. Because you not only be breaking a promise, but you also might be dissatisfied by the will of Allah. And there is another type of that is called nadr. It is where you do a good action, you do a good action with a condition, such as if you would say, oh, if I get such and such amount of money, I would donate some to charity. So this is a sign of stinginess and being cheap, that you are doing any good action under a condition. So I would say, oh, if I pass an exam, I'll donate some money. But if I don't pass an exam, I won't give away the money. So this is not good. This is something that one must avoid in Islam. And the Prophet ﷺ has condemned such thing, condemned this nadr. And the Prophet ﷺ said, he said that nadr is something that does not bring any good, but it's something that proves that who is stingy, who is a stingy person. And this is a hadith, this is a strong hadith that is recorded in both Bukhari and Muslim, and was narrated from Abd al-Rahman ibn Samra. So this is being cheap, and it shows that you're stingy because all actions are bad intentions. So if you had a good intention in your heart that you intended to donate charity and you might have not done it, you would be rewarded just for that intention, inshallah. So the simple fact of your intention in your heart is enough for you to get reward. So you should not hang a good deed based on a condition. So if you just make the intention to donate money, if you did donate money, then you get the blessings for the donation and the blessings for the intention. If you fail to donate the money for some other reason, maybe you didn't have money or you forgot, then you get the reward for the intention. But if you have a niyyah only, just an intention, then that is not obligatory upon you to fulfill. So, but if you make a promise, so if you say, oh well, if I pass this exam, I'll donate money, then it becomes obligatory upon you to donate that money. So all of these are, you are burdening yourself with things that your religion has not required from you. So if you anticipate that you're going to be patient whenever anything happens, or if you say I'm going to donate money, if this or that happens, then you're putting an extra burden on yourself that is not obligatory upon you. So you should avoid that at all costs.
أن الإنسان يطلب أن يعين واليا أو أميرا، كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ينهى عن طلب الإمارة.
And now they're going to say that leadership should not be sought. So you should not go and ask for leadership in Islam.
الإمارة أو الولاية، كان أحيانا بعض الناس يأتي إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ويطلب من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يعينه أميرا على بلد من البلاد أو أميرا على جيش من الجيوش أو كذا.
And there were companions who go and ask to be leaders of armies or countries or villages. And he said, you should not. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever asks for leadership should not have it.
لا تعامل الله تعالى إذا كنت يعني تسعى للإمارة وتحت
So you should not even seek after the leadership.
وكلت إليه وإن أعطيتها عن غير مسألة أعنت عليه.
So he said, if you ask for leadership and you are given, this is the Prophet ﷺ, then it becomes a burden on you. But if you don't ask for it and it's given to you anyway, then Allah shall help you for it, inshallah. So that's why you should not go and ask for leadership openly. So he's saying that this is another sign of you preceding evil, because leadership is a very difficult responsibility, and the simple fact that you asking for, you are asking for an extra burden in your life that you don't have to take. So he said, as the Prophet ﷺ said, every shepherd is responsible for all his sheep. When you start from being just responsible for yourself at first, but now that you become a leader, you are responsible for maybe thousands or millions of people, depending on what your position is. This is a tremendous responsibility that is very difficult to fulfill. And all these responsibilities are not obligatory upon you. At first, you were only responsible for yourself.
قال أو يقدم على بلد فيه طاعون برضو من هذا الباب إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن القدوم على بلد فيه طاعون لأنه تعرض للبلاء.
And he said you should not ask to be in a place where there is an epidemic. You should not enter a town or a country where there is an epidemic. The Prophet condemned seeking such supplication because you are asking for entering a place where there is danger for yourself that you don't need to be exposed to. And whoever is in this town, then that person has to be satisfied with that.
And
this is the wisdom of the Prophet. Why he's saying that you should say, oh, if you happen to be in a town with an epidemic, why you should say, Alhamdulillah, I accept Allah's decrees, because He doesn't want you to flee and then you will spread that disease elsewhere. So you should just be patient and be satisfied with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if it happens in a town where you're not living there, then you should not go there. You should not try to enter that town because you are going to enter a place where you'll be sick. And the reason why is that is because there is a hadith that says whoever dies from an epidemic, then he is a martyr. But one should not seek it. It's under condition that you don't go and seek it. The Prophet ﷺ confirmed that. So basically, although somebody who dies from an epidemic is a martyr, it has to happen in his natural habitat where he is, and it just happened that there's an epidemic that spread there. But you should not go and try to get the epidemic by traveling to a faraway country or asking Allah to end up there somehow. There are many other ways to go to Jannah, inshallah. You should not put all your eggs in one basket trying to die with the epidemic when you could, you know, fast. You could pray at night. You could donate to charity. You should not limit the ways that you could enter the paradise to one single path, for instance, of dying under an epidemic.
واطلب الأجر والثواب في الأبواب الأخرى يعني المفتوحة أمامك. نعم.
There's a question now from the audience.
نعم، بالنسبة لمسألة العدوى يعني قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني إلى جانب حديث الطاعون في المقابل عندنا حديث لا عدوى ولا طيرة. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا عدوى ولا طيرة. طيرة اللي هي التشاؤم. يعني بعض الناس إذا رأوا الحمامة مثلا توجهت يسارا يتشائمون إن سيحصل له مشكلة أو يتشائم بمنظر من المناظر أو اسم يسمعه أو كذا يحصل له تشاؤم يحصل له شر أو مكروه أو كذا فلا عدوى ولا طيرة فما المقصود بلا عدوى ولا طيرة؟
He's asking about the meaning of hadith that says la'ab or la'tayr.
Tayr
means in the ancient times when somebody would say a pigeon, say flying to the left, it meant it was a bad omen, bad luck. That means if you see a bird flying to the left, that means that you have bad luck or something. So that's not bad. That you shouldn't believe in such things. That's Allah controls all things, so it's haram to believe such a thing. Because your reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is getting weak. And then the other word was abwa, which means that you are befriending a sick person to become sick. But you only become sick by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not by the will of this sick person. So you should not go and try to hang out with sick individuals with the goal to become sick, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one ultimately who tests you with sickness or not. So the first one was sickness, hanging with sick people. The second one was believing in bad omens. And in that particular case, was the bad omen was seeing birds or pigeons fly in a certain direction and believing that that means good or bad luck, depending on which direction the bird flew in.
قال لهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فمن أعدى الأول طيب أول واحد هذا اللي أصاب الجرح من الذي أعداه وجاء المرض بقدر الله مش بالعدوى فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يريد أن يقول له يعني الأول هذا من أين أتاه الجرح وما قالت كل الإبل التي معه صحة ليس في يعني هم 100 بعير معزولين عن العالم كله في الصحراء ليس معهم أي شيء والأول واحد أصابه الجرح فانتقل إلى البقية بس الأول هذا من الذي أعداه ما أحد يعني قدر الله عليهم ولا فإذا لا وفي المقابل يعني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال فر من المجزوم فرارة من الأسد فر من المجزوم فرارة من الأسد مرض الجزام اللي هو تآكل الأطراف يعني نسأل الله العافية وكذا من الأمراض يعني التي تنتقل يعني بالملامسة وكذا فقال فر من المجزوم فرارة من الأسد ومع ذلك أكل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مع رجل مجزوم يعني كان رجل أصابه الجزاء وأكل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم معهم إناء واحد يعني توكلا على الله تعالى وكذا فمن هذا الباب يعني أن العدوى هي سبب من الأسباب وقد يحصل المرض بسببها الواحد لا يعني يفر من المجزوم ولا يقدم على البلد التي فيها طاعون وكذا لكن لا يكون عنده إفراط في الاعتماد على هذا السبب أنه يعني
Well, the Shaykh has returned to the topic and he's saying the same thing, that you should not wish to enter a city that has an epidemic so you won't die from it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cures whoever He wills and gives sickness to whoever He wills as well.
المؤمن يكون عنده توكل على الله سبحانه. نرجع هنا ونقول قال كما في الصحيحين عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من غير وجه أنه نهى عن النزل وقال إنه لا يأتي بخير وإنما يستخرج به من البخيل.
So he went back to the hadith that says that you should not,
لا يأتي بخير.
You should not do nadr, which is a good, doing a good deed under condition, because it doesn't bring any good, but in fact it just shows who is stingy. So he's saying that if you did make this nadr, then it's obligatory upon you to fulfill your promise. So if you said, if I pass the exam, I'll donate money, then you must donate that money if you pass the exam.
صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لعبد الرحمن بن سمرة لا تسأل الإمارة فإنك إن أعطيتها عن
إليها وإن أعطيتها من غير the Prophet فإنت commanded one of the companions to never ask for وإذا حلفت على يمين Because if you were given, then it became a burden on you. And if you were in horror, If it was, if you were just appointed a leader without asking, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you.
بعدين آخر الحديث في مسألة متعلقة باليمين إذا حلفت على يمين فرأيت غيرها خيرا منها فأت الذي هو خير وكفر عن هذه اليمين بإطعام 10 مساكين. وثبت عنه صلى الله عليه وسلم في الصحيحين أنه قال في الطاعون إذا سمعتم به بأرض فلا تقدموا عليه.
And then concerning the epidemic, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in both Muslim and Sahih Bukhari, if you ever heard of an epidemic in a certain land, you should not approach that land. And if it happened in, if it happened in the land that you are residing in, then don't leave it and stay there. Another hadith about meeting the enemy. Prophet ﷺ said, don't wish meeting the enemy and ask Allah for prosperity. But if you met the enemy, then be patient and know that paradise is under the shadow of the
soul. وأمثال ذلك مما يقتضي أن الإنسان لا ينبغي له أن يسعى فيما يوجب عليه أشياء ويحرم عليه أشياء فيبخل بالوفاء كما يفعله كثير ممن يعاهد الله عهودا على أمور وغالب هؤلاء يبتلون بنقض العهود.
So he's concluding with all this series of ahadith where it proves that one should not be hasty and should not try to speak before the fact and say, oh, if I meet the enemy, I'll kill him. Or, if I do this, I'll do something else, because now you're putting a burden on yourself. And Allah usually tests you when this happens. And most often, people fail to fulfill their promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is very serious.
ويقول غالب هؤلاء الذين يعاهدون الله عهودا على أمور يتحمس مثلا في وقته إن شاء الله بيكون الدافع نية الخير الرغبة في فعل الخير وفي اجتناب المعاصي أو شيء يظل يعاهد الله يقول أعاهد الله تعالى على أن أفعل كذا وأترك كذا فيقول غالب هؤلاء ينقض هذه العهود ولا يسلم فكان ينبغي أنك
So he said the best is to just have a good intention in your heart instead of making a promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, if such and such happens, then I'll try to do good and improve others, etc. So now this person is asking about concerning an ayah that says all the food was halal except whatever Israel forbade on himself, and he's trying to explain what were these foods that Israel forbade on himself.
يسبب مرض فأصابه عرق النسى أو كذا حرم على نفسه أكل الإبل وكذا يذكر مفسرون كأنه على سبيل التداوي وعلى سبيل قيل له أن الإبل إن لحم الإبل يضر به أو شيء من القبيل أو كذا حرمه على نفسه.
Some said that it was the meat of the camel, of the female camel.
ذلك على بني إسرائيل وكذا فهذا من هذا الباب وعلى كل حال الله تعالى أعلم هل كان هذا في شريعته.
There were other foods as well.
من باب النذر ولا من باب اجتناب الشيء للضرر أو كذا. وحتى لو كان في شريعته شرع من قبلنا شرع لنا ما لم نؤمر بخلافه. فنبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم نهانا عن النذر وكره لنا.
So now he returned to the topic and he's saying that Prophet ﷺ discourages using nadr and making promises under conditions of good deeds and making good deeds under conditions.
So يعني بعضهم يكون نازل مطلق اللي هو بدون تعليق بأمر دنيوي يعني بس لله علي أن أصلي ركعتين فقل لله علي. لكن كان الشيخ الإسلام رحمه الله يرى أن النذر بجميع أنواعه مطلقا ومعلقا يعني
so there are two types of nadr.
مطلق من جهة تحميل النفس.
But in this case, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, the author of the book, says that both types are discouraged.
قال ويقتضي أن الإنسان إذا ابتلي فعليه أن يصبر ويثبت.
So best is if a person is tested by some type of tragedy, then that person should just you know steadfast and be patient.
لا يكل في نصها ولا ينكل. لا ينكل يعني لا يرجع يعني. لا يكل من الكلل اللي هو تعب يعني الإنسان الذي يعني مل من الشيء وتوقف عنه. يعني قصد الإنسان إذا ابتلي فعليه أن يصبر.
So this person, if any bad deed or you know, some misery happens to this person, not only should that person be patient, but it should persevere in patience and stay patient as long as these unfortunate events are happening. That's why patience is very important because being patient in terms of, for instance, in times of the early Muslims was being patient to persist in doing the good deeds or doing the obligatory deeds was obligatory and being patient in terms of avoiding the forbidding actions was obligatory. The third type of patience is being patient in terms of catastrophes or in terms of unfortunate events on a person. So patience in doing good deeds or obligatory deeds, patience in avoiding the forbidden deeds, and patience during trials.
في الإقلاع عن هذه المحرمات والبعد عنها. وكذلك النوع الثالث اللي هو الصبر على المصائب. قال ويدخل في ذلك الصبر على المصائب عن أن يجزع فيها. يعني مما يدخل في الصبر الصبر على المصائب عن أن يجزع فيها. والصبر عن اتباع أهواء النفوس.
So the types of sabr, he's going back to patience, there's patience in trials or catastrophes, and there's also patience following the following ourselves and following whatever we love and like, which might be forbidden.
من ضمن الايه الصبر عن المحرمات انك تصبر عن المحرمات من ضمن
so you have to be patient and not let your drive lead you to disobey the law by undertaking some forbidden actions.
والصبر عن اتباع اهواء النفوس فيما نهى الله عنه هذا من الصبر عن المحرمات انك تجاهد نفسك وتصبر عن هوى النفس عن اتباع هوى النفس اذا كانت النفس تهوى شيئا حرام. قال وقد ذكر الله سبحانه
and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned patience in more than 90 locations in the Quran and many times he will couple it with prayer to show its importance.
يقول إن الله تعالى ذكر الصبر في أكثر من 90 موضعا وقرنه بالصلاة في قوله تعالى واستعينوا بالصبر
for example in Surah Al-Baqarah he says steadfast on patience and prayer because they are big only on the pious.
90 آية يعني فيها الصبر الأمر بالصبر منها يعني عدة آيات.
There are many times where patience is coupled with salat to show it's very important.
استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة لأن الصبر يعين المسلم والصلاة تعين المسلم.
Because both patience and prayer both help the Muslim to attain the afterlife. When it says, indeed, the prayer is big for the prayer means, for the pious means that it's heavy. They take it seriously. It's really something that they take seriously. People who are not very pious, they take it easily. They just, you know, it's just up and down, and that's it.
وقوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين.
There's another ayah that says, persist on patience and prayer, although you believe. Persist on prayer, patience and prayers. Indeed, Allah is with the believers.
لأن معية الله تعالى نوعان، معية عامة لعموم الخلق. وهو معكم أينما كنتم. ما يكون من نجوى ثلاثة إلا هو رابعهم ولا خمسة إلا هو سادسهم ولا أدنى من ذلك ولا أكثر إلا هو معه أينما كان. هذه المعية العامة ومعية العلم والإحاطة. الله تعالى مع الخلق جميعا بعلم.
He's saying that Allah سبحانه وتعالى is always present with people with His knowledge, even if He's not physically present, but He's always there, such as the ayah. There is never four, but He's their fifth. There's never three, there He's their fourth. And there's no four, and He's their fifth. And any more, any less, but He's with them. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present not physically, but He is present with His knowledge. So when Allah says, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Allah is with the patient ones, it means that He is with them during His presence. Or when Prophet ﷺ said, Abu Bakr told Abu Bakr, don't be sad, Allah is with us. And this one is another type of companionship of Allah, presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is special to some people when it's more of a victory, a sense of victory. But in this example, in this verse, when it says, and Allah is with the patient, it means that Allah is with them by His
knowledge.
Then in Surah 2, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and establish the prayer during the day and night, during the day and deep at night, until Allah says, and be patient in Allah. Be patient. Indeed, Allah would not overlook or would not forget the reward of the patient, the reward of the good doers.
فاصبر على ما يقولون
وسبح بحمد ربك قبل طلوع الشمس. Be patient at what they're saying, and سبح and glorify your Lord before the rise of the sun and before it sets.
وقبل غروبها هي الظهر والعصر. قبل طلوع الشمس هي المغرب والعشاء والفجر. وقبل غروبها هي.
So before the rising of the sun means that's Maghrib and Isha and Fajr. And after the rise of the sun, that's Dhuhr and Asr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said here, be patient on what they say, and then seek, and then glorify the Lord. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, be patient, the promise of Allah is due, and seek forgiveness for your sins.
القصد أن الله تعالى أمر بالصبر وأمر بالصلاة في نفس الليل. قال وجعل الإمامة في الدين موروثة عن الصبر واليقين. جعل الله تعالى الإمامة في الدين.
So now after these ayat he says that and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made leadership in our religion inheritance for patience and knowledge. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this ayah, and we have established leaders for them that guide from our will for what they have been patience. And they used to be knowledgeable of our verses. This is in Surah Sajdah.
قَالَ فَإِنَّ الدِّينَ كُلَّهُ عِلْمٌ بِالْحَقِّ وَعَمَلٌ بِهِ.
Ibn Taymiyyah says
وَالْعَمَلُ بِهِ لَابُدَّ فِيهِ مِنَ الْيَقِينِ.
All our religion is knowledge, and is true knowledge. And we must apply that knowledge, we must work with it. And working using true knowledge is obligatory in our religion as well. And to work with true knowledge, you must be patient. Just seeking knowledge, you must be patient in the first place. So, the whole knowledge is, the whole religion is knowledge and work. You have to not only know, but you also have to apply your knowledge. Knowledge without action is fruitless. And to establish this knowledge and to apply it, you must be patient and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you successful and apply it correctly. Even the seeking of knowledge requires patience as well. And there he's using the saying from one of the companions, Mu'adh ibn Jabal. He said, you must seek knowledge. And whoever seeks knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worship. He said that knowing this and acquiring this knowledge and knowing it is fear in Allah. And searching for it is jihad. Searching for knowledge is jihad. And teaching whatever knowledge you have learned to whoever doesn't know it is a charity. Teaching the knowledge that you have acquired to someone who doesn't know it is a charity. And whoever, and when you're reviewing your knowledge and you're ensuring that it's still current, is as if you're making tasbih.
ما معنى مستحب أن الله يحبه وهذا يكرهه الله وهذا يعني أمر الله به وهذا نهى الله عنه كل هذا العلم أنت تذكر به الله سبحانه وتعالى وتذكر أمر الله وتذكر نهي الله علم التفسير يعني تتدبر كلام الله معاني آيات الله الحديث الشريف تصلي فيه على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وتذكر سنته والعلم يعتبر ذكرا لله سبحانه وتعالى ومذاكرته تسبيح به يعرف الله ويعبد وبه يمجد الله ويوحد.
So with this knowledge you could know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and with correct knowledge you could worship Allah the way He expects you to worship Him. And with this knowledge you could glorify Allah and you could single Him out. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rises groups over others to lead with knowledge. So the most knowledgeable groups are those who lead by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
الشاهد هنا يعني في هذا الأثر المروي عن معاذ رضي الله عنه قد رواه أبو نعيم في حلية الأولياء وأبو بكر الأيجري في أخلاق العلماء وابن عبد البر وغيره. طيب فهذا الأثر يعني فيه إيه؟ أن البحث عن العلم جهاد.
So he's saying ولا بد في الجهاد seeking knowledge is jihad.
البحث عن العلم جهادا قال البحث عنه جهادا طيب قال لك الجهاد لابد فيه من الصبر ولهذا قال تعالى
seeking knowledge is jihad and for any jihad you have to have patience and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said all by time all mankind and laws except those who believe and do righteous deeds and advise one another about truth and advise one another about patience. So all humankind are at loss except those who believe, who are Muslims, and who advise one another on doing righteous deeds, and who advise one another on being patient. So without these three, all human all the remainder of humankind are at lost.
يعني هنا طبعا سورة العصر يعني سورة جمعت إيه؟ أبواب الدين يعني كلها. حتى قال الإمام الشافعي رحمه الله لو ما أنزل الله
الإمام الشافعي said on the باب السورة سورة العصر if Allah has revealed only this surah, only surah al-Asr, it will have been enough for mankind. We didn't need anything else because it tells us how to lead our lives. All humankind are at loss except those who believe, are Muslims, did righteous deeds, advise one another and do when the truth and here when it says advise one another on good deeds, it means, you know, enjoining good and forbidding evil, encouraging all the good deeds, prayer, charity, etc. And encourage one another to observe patience.
الإيمان يدخل فيه العلم والتواصل بالحق يدخل فيه تعليم العلم واقترن بهما الوصية بالصبر وتواصل بالصبر فإذا العلم يحتاج إلى الصبر يعني. قال فالعلم في الآية الكريمة يعني للأيدي والأبصار وغير المعاني الأيدي اللي هي القوة يعني على طاعة الله والعبادة يعني فإذا إيه الأبصار اللي هي البصائر والبصيرة هذه تتعلق بالعلم والأيدي فيها نوع من الإيه نوع من الصبر يعني الصبر هنا له علاقة من جو الأيدي يعني من جو الإيه القوة على العلم يعني. قال فالعلم النافع هو أصل الهدى والعمل بالحق.
So the author is saying that the useful knowledge is the origin of guidance. And working and applying this knowledge is the righteous guidance as well. And the opposite of the first one, the opposite of knowledge is misguidance or loss or being lost. So whoever is not who doesn't have knowledge is lost. And then the opposite of the second, who knows but does not apply, is it means blindness. Because you have knowledge but you don't apply it. And misguidance is somebody who does an action without knowledge. So if you do any action without knowledge, you are lost. Being lost is working without any knowledge.
يغير الإنسان يعلم الحق ومع ذلك لا يعمل به هذا إيه؟
And then there's the blinds who are those who know the truth but don't apply it, or those who have knowledge but don't apply it.
يعلم أنه حق وإنما يتبع ما يهواه. قال تعالى والنجم إذا هوى ما ضل صاحبكم وما غوى. فنفى الله تعالى عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يكون من الضالين ونفى عنه أن يكون من الغاوين عليه الصلاة والسلام ما ضل صاحبكم محمد.
So then in the surah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says وَمَا by the stars
هو من الضالين الذين لا يعلمون الحق
your companion meaning Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم has not gotten lost and has not been blinded meaning that he doesn't قال فلا do things without knowledge and does not know things and doesn't apply
ولا ينال الرشاد إلا بالصبر.
So there's no guidance without knowledge, and there's no and there's no guidance without patience. And Ali ibn Abi Talib said that there's patience to iman is similar to a head for a body. So if you cut a head, the body dies. Then he raised his voice and said, he said, a person who has no patience has no iman. So Ali radiallahu anhu here compared the patience to the iman is similar to the head is to the body. So this is all to highlight the importance of patience.
الصبر إذن من الواجبات باتفاق المسلمين.
So all the ulama
قال
that patience is a Muslim is obligatory upon every Muslim.
فقد تنازع العلماء والمشايخ.
So now they move to being satisfied with the will of Allah. So Allah says, what about the scientists of Islam and the shaykh of Islam have different opinions on the matter. Imam Ahmed and others, they say that rida is believing in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore it is obligatory or is advised, strongly advised or strongly encouraged.
ولا يقتصرون يعني على فعل الواجبات وترك المحرمات. ماشي. وعلى الثاني يكون من أعمال المقربين. على الثاني أن الرضا من المستحبات يكون الرضا من أعمال في المقربين. مر بنا أن المؤمنين ثلاث درجات، ثلاث مستويات. يعني كان بعض أخواننا سأل يعني حتى برضو نوضح حاجة، سألنا بعد الدرس يعني بعض اخواننا من المسلمين الجدد يعني لكن ما اتضحت عندهم هذه الامور يعني عندما نقول يعني المؤمنين يعني على درجات الظالم لنفسه والمقتصد والسابق، فهل هذه الدرجات يعني كيف يعني يكون انسان من هذا القسم ولا من هذا القسم؟ فطبعا في الاسلام، في الاسلام يعني ليس هناك يعني احد يمنحك يعني شهادة ولا تأخذ درجة انك يعني وصلت الى هذا المستوى ولا نجحت الى هذا المستوى، انما هذا امر بينك وبين الله سبحانه وتعالى. يعني ربنا يعني كان يسأل ونوضح يعني له المسألة يعني هذه المستويات هذا امر بينك وبين الله سبحانه وتعالى، لا يعلم به احد الا الله سبحانه وتعالى، وفي ذلك فليتنافس المتنافس. يعني زي الايه يسمون الاكسترا كريدت، يعني كل واحد يعني في القدر اللي هو الواجب من الدين، إذا حافظت عليه واقتصرت عليه فتكون في مرتبة.
So he is talking about the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how there is no limit to the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was citing an example of some new weavers Islam who asked the question about certain degrees of faith. And he said that there is no one who stops you from entering a certain category of faith, and that no one is going to give you a degree because you are in a certain category and not. Then he showed the ayah that says, and for the bounty of Allah, let them compete. So there is always extra credit, as the Shaykh said, in terms of the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you should always do your best to accumulate as many blessings as possible.
المقربون أو السابقون، السابقون المقربون هؤلاء هم الذين لم يكتفوا بفعل الواجبات ترك المحرمات، بل زادوا على ذلك بفعل المستحبات ترك.
So he's saying there's the first people that are the closest to Allah are those that did not, that weren't content by just doing the obligatory actions and leaving the forbidden actions alone, but they also did what was recommended, and they did all the sunnahs, they did as many actions as they could to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
يعني من
so being satisfied with Allah's decree
كلها
is
لابد أن يعملها المقربين وبيعملوا الواجبات.
Then these are this is one of the actions of the muqarrabun. So if you believe that this is obligatory upon you, that you believe and you are satisfied in Allah's will, then you are. This is one of the characteristics of this higher group of faith that is the muqarrabin, the ones that are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
قال الحسن البصري الرضاء عزيز لكن الصبر معول المؤمن. حسن البصري رحمه الله يقول الرضاء هو رضا يعني عزيز، الشيء العزيز اللي هو النادر يعني نادر يعني قل من ايه يعني قل من يعني يصل الى درجه الرضا، لكن الصبر معول المؤمن، لكن المؤمن معول على الصبر، كل المؤمنين
So some say that one scholar said that sabr is obligatory upon every Muslim, but rida is encouraged. our satisfaction that Allah's will is uncursed.
نعم يعني في تقسيم ال يعني في تقسيم مراتب الدين في حديث جبريل عليه السلام قسمت إلى ثلاثة أقسام اللي هي الإسلام والإيمان والإحسان. فإذا كان الإنسان مسلما لكن ليس بمؤمن فهذا إذا لم كان مسلما وليس بمؤمن يعني يمكن أن نقول إن هذا يعني في درجة الظالم لنفسه، بس إذا كان
So, I'm not sure what the question from the audience was, but the Shaykh is explaining the three degrees of Islam according to the hadith of Jibreel, where he said that there is Islam, there is Iman, there is Ihsan. So he's saying that what if a person is Muslim but does not have he has observed Islam but he has not observed Iman? He said that he is one of the categories that a category that is classified by scholars as the one who has done unfairly to himself. On somebody who believes and knows but does not that is Muslim but does not have faith, that is not does not have Iman.
في أثر عن الحسن وأثر عن عمر بن عباس. أثر الحسن البصري قال الرضاء عزيز لكن الصبر معول المؤمن، هذا رواه أبو نعيم في حلية الأولياء. وفي أثر آخر عن عمر بن عبد العزيز رحمه الله قال الرضا قليل ولكن الصبر معول المؤمن، إذن هو إيه؟ هذا رواه ابن أحمد في كتاب الزهد. رواه ابن أحمد في كتاب الزهد. إذن هما أثران بنفس المعنى. بعض النسخ اقتصرت على أحدهما وبعض النسخ يعني جمع. فإذا عندنا أثر عن الحسن البصري قال الرضاء عزيز لكن الصبر معول المؤمن، وأثر آخر عن عمر بن عبد العزيز رحمه الله قال الرضا قليل ولكن الصبر معول المؤمن. نفس هذا المعنى ورد عن هذين الإمامين من أئمة التابعين، كلاهما من علماء التابعين الحسن البصري وعمر بن عبد العزيز رحمه الله، فكلاهما قال هذا المعنى. قال وقد روي عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
أنه قال حديث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
أن تعمل
where he was advising Ibn Abbas, he said if you can do an action for Allah with consent and sure knowledge, then do it. But if you couldn't, then there is a lot of blessings in your patience in letting this action go. If you just don't do anything because you're not sure if you have certain knowledge and you let it go, then Allah will give you a reward just for that. Your patience, the act that you were patient and you kind of in forfeiting these benefits because you weren't sure if your knowledge has also a lot of good deeds.
قال ولهذا لم يجئ في القرآن إلا مدح الراضين لا إيجاب ذلك. لم يجئ في القرآن إلا مدح الراضين لا إيجاب ذلك، يعني ليس في القرآن أمر بالرضا ولكن ورد المدح.
So not only there was a command to be satisfied by Allah's will, but there's also praise for those who do observe satisfaction in Allah's will. They are praised in the Quran.
في حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول ارضى بما قسم الله لك.
And there's a hadith that says be satisfied what Allah has devised for you.
لكن هنا يعني حمد هذا يعني الذي يقول ان الرضا من المستحبات يحمله على انه ايه امر استحداد يعني انا. فيقول لم يجئ في القران الا مدح الراضي لا ايجاب ذلك. وهذا في الرضا بما يفعله الرب بعبده من المصائب كالمرض والفقر والزلزال، اللي هو ايه يعني زلزلت القلب بالخوف عن العدو المنع. كما قال تعالى والصابرين في البأساء والضراء وحين البأس. البأساء اللي هي الفقر والضراء.
So now he's reciting a surah from an ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, and those who are patient in poverty, in sickness, and during battle, during war.
وقال تعالى أم حسبتم أن تدخلوا الجنة ولما يأتكم مثل.
There's another ayah where Allah Subhanahu wa Taala said, "Did you think that you would enter paradise and you have not endured what others who have endured before you from poverty and sickness and also you know fear of the enemy."
فإذا المؤمن يعني يتعرض لهذه الابتلاءات يعني يمتحن.
So usually there are these three types of tests. The one is according to one of the tests is with respect to money. Another one is with respect of your physique or your body and you know sicknesses. And also there is what they called also zilzal, which is earthquake. And this is the earthquake of the heart where you are you know it's extreme fear of you know the enemy of a person or such.
والزلزال في القلوب زلزلة في القلب يعني بالخوف يعني من عدو. قال وأما الرضا بما أمر الله به فأصله واجب وهو من الإيمان.
Being satisfied with what with which Allah has commanded us to do, then that is obligatory. You being satisfied that we have to pray, for instance, that is obligatory upon you. That you are satisfied about that. They're talking about being satisfied with Allah's decree in terms of a bad event happening, say, you know, getting injured or something like that, then that is some people consider just being recommended. It's not obligatory. However, it is obligatory upon you to be satisfied with what Allah has made obligatory upon us as Muslims.
أنك ترضى بالله ربا، ترضى بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا، ترضى بالله ربا يعني ترضى بأن تعبد الله وترضى.
So for instance, you have to be satisfied by the fact that Allah is your Lord and that Muhammad is your Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم etc. and that you have to worship Allah. Yeah, you must be satisfied by these things. It's not optional.
قال هذا يعني من الواجبات.
So basically the satisfaction that the scholars have deferred in is not the one about the obligatory actions, but is about being satisfied by Allah's decree in matters of catastrophes or trials.
He's
using a hadith from the Prophet ﷺ that says, a person has tasted the taste of Iman from whoever has accepted Allah, who has accepted Allah as his Lord, and has accepted Islam as a religion, and has accepted Muhammad as a prophet. And this is similar to loving Allah and loving Allah's religion and loving His Prophet, which is also obligatory for Muslims. So this is one of the branches of love, is to be satisfied that Allah is your Lord and that Muhammad is your Prophet and that Islam is your religion.
ثم لا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما. وهنا نفى الله تعالى الإيمان. نفى الله تعالى الإيمان.
Then Allah سبحانه وتعالى here uses an ayah in Surah Al-Qasas that says, "By Allah, they would not believe until you have to rule into a matter between them, and then they will not find any objections in their hearts." From your rulement, and they would become Muslim.
ما قضى به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فهذا هو شرع الله تعالى الذي يجب عليه.
Meaning that they will be satisfied by the rule of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, which is the Sharia of Allah سبحانه وتعالى.
يسمع حديثا يأمر فيه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم شيء فيكون صدره في حرج, يعني في اعتراض على هذا الحديث وعدم قبول له, فهذا يتنافى مع الدين. وقال تعالى ولو أنهم رضوا ما آتاهم
الله ورسوله وقالوا حسبنا الله. And if they were satisfied with Allah and His Prophet, and they said, and they said, حسبنا الله, meaning Allah is enough for us.
قال تعالى ذلك بأنهم اتبعوا ما أسخط الله وكرهوا رضوانه فأحبط أعمالهم. فهنا هؤلاء المنافقون كرهوا شرع الله. إحنا ذكرنا فيه الكراهة اللي هي الجبلية الطبيعية. الإنسان مثلا يكره يعني المشقة المصاحبة للصيام, يعني كراهة الصيام لا لذات الصيام أنه شرع الله تعالى, وإنما المشقة المصاحبة له من الجوع والعطش وكذا. هو يعني نفسه تكره الجوع والعطش وكذا, اللي هو يعتبر يعني من آثار العبادة, لكنه راض بحكم الله تعالى, هو يصوم ويؤدي شرع الله, يعني هو راض بالصوم من جهة أنه يعني شرع الله تعالى, ليس عنده اعتراض أن يشرع الله تعالى لعباده ما يشاء, وهو ملتزم يعني بأداء ما أمر الله به. ممكن يكون في كراهة طبيعية للإيه.
And he's given an example now of the case of fasting, for instance, where a man is not dissatisfied by the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala per se. He still observes fasting, but he is upset that it is so difficult and that he has to do it as a Muslim. But it's not a hate for Allah's rule per se. It is more for the difficulties of the difficulties of fasting, not for the act of fasting itself.
يعني العبادة مريحة وحتى لو كان نفسه تهواها, بس هو يكرهها لأنه يعني يكره دين الله ويكره شرع الله ولا يجب له. هذا حال المنافقين.
And then there is the case of the hypocrites who that even for something that for some act of worship that might be very easy for them and that they might like to perform, but they still hate the act of doing it. That is one of the characteristics of the hypocrites. So they will do it, but they hate it. And they hate doing it because it is an act of worship. So there, this is one of the characteristics of the hypocrite.
فهذا حال المنافقين اللي الكراهة يعني الدينية, ما يكره شرع الله يعني لكراهته للدين وكراهته للإسلام. فهذا محبط للعمل والعياذ بالله. اللي يكره شيئا من الدين وعنده اعتراض عليه ويكره, يعني شخص يكره الحجاب, يكره الصلاة, يكره حتى يعني شعائر الدين, حتى المستحب منها, يعني كراهته لأنه يعني كأمر ديني, مش كراهة يعني جبلية لكل مثلا شقا عليه أو كذا, ولكن كراهة دينية هو يعني عنده اعتراض على هذا الشيء الذي شرعه الله. فهذا يعني مما يحبط العمل والعياذ بالله ويتنافى مع أصل الإيمان. واضح؟ يعني سبحان الله, يعني دائما المؤمن عكس هذه الصورة, يعني المؤمن هو يحب ما أمر الله به حتى ولو كان شقا عليه, يعني ممكن نفسه فيها مشقة ويجاهد نفسه في امتثال الصورة. يعني كراهة المؤمن مثلا للصيام أو الجهاد أو لكذا مش لأنه أمر الله, هو يحبه من هذه الجهة لأن الله أمر به فهو يحبه, لكن هو يكره يعني آثار المصاحبة للعبادة من المشقة. بينما يعني المؤمن يكره يعني شعائر الكفر وأعمال يعني الكافرين والعبادات التي تصرف لغير الله, يعني شرائع الأديان الشركية. فهو يكرهها لكونها يعني مثلا إذا علم من هذا الشيء من شعائر دين النصارى أو اليهود أو كذا, فهو يكرهه من هذه الجهة حتى ولو كان محببا إلى نفسه. يعني حتى لو كان مثلا يعني عيد من أعياد المشركين مثلا يفعلون فيه يصنعون فيه طعاما شهيا ولا يعملون فيه أشياء, هو يكرهها لأنها من إيه يعني من شعائر دين يعني غير دين الإسلام وكذا. فهذا حال المؤمن, هو يعني يحب دين الله تعالى وكل ما فيه حتى ولو كان شقا عليه, ويكره يعني الدين الذي يعني ينافي دين الله تعالى حتى ولو كان محببا الى نفسه من الطبيعه الجبليه, يعني هو يحب مثلا الطعام ولا يحب
Now he's using another example of the case of the Muslim who, or characteristic of a Muslim will be somebody who hates something that is against Allah, not is the opposite of the hypocrite. For instance, you might like certain kinds of food, but they might be cooked on a day to celebrate a disbeliever's holiday, say Thanksgiving. Maybe you like turkey, but on Thanksgiving you're going to hate that food because they are celebrating a non-Muslim holiday, a holiday for the disbelievers. And this is a characteristic of the believer. And that you don't hate turkey because it is observing a disbeliever's holiday. And now he's using another ayah to show the characteristics of the hypocrites that says that what caused their actions not be accepted or their givings to not be accepted is that they disbelieved in Allah and His Prophet and they don't come to the prayer except that they are lazy. And they don't spend any money except that they are hateful for it. And this is two characteristics of the hypocrites. Somebody who prays and in front of people so that people see that he's praying, that it's an action of riya, which means that so people could see him. He's not praying for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and who's spending, but hates the act of spending in the sake of Allah, you know, donating money to charity, for instance.
ورضاه بما قسم الله له ومن شقاوة ابن آدم ترك استخارته لله وسخطه بما يكسب الله
that was narrated from Sa'd that the Prophet ﷺ said from the happiness of the son of Adam is seeking guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala بأمر الله. And his happiness is and being satisfied by whatever Allah has decreed, and from his misery of the son of Adam leaving guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and from his sadness and hating for whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed on him. So this kind of summarizes everything that we've been talking about prior, where that the son of Adam really relies on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he takes on a decision, and he is happy and satisfied from whatever Allah decrees for him after that he has sought guidance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala either through prayer or dua or supplications.
فيسقط يعني لا يعني يسقط بما قسم الله له هذا من الشقاء إذا السعيد الذي جمع بين أمرين الاستخارة قبل الإقدام على العمل.
So this shows that the happy Muslim, the happy son of Adam, is the one that before the action takes place relies on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeks guidance and asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then when the action takes place, if it is whatever he asked for, he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if it isn't, he is patient and accepts it regardless. Says Alhamdulillah regardless.
وأما أهل الشقاوة من قبل ما يقدم على الشيء لا يستخير وبعدين بعد ما تحصل له النتيجة يعني يسخط ما قسمه الله تعالى. طيب هناك بقى نوع آخر اللي هو موضوع الرضا بالمعنيات. طيب هل
Now he's moving into satisfying so being satisfied from whatever Allah has forbade us from doing, the actions and the foods and everything that Allah has forbidden on us, and that will be the subject of the next lecture, inshallah. The Shaykh is going to take questions.
Thank you. لا هنا نفي في قوله تعالى فلا وربك لا يؤمنون حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم ثم لا يجدوا. يكون هذا نفي اصل الايمان يعني ليس كمال نفي الايمان الواجب عنهم وليس الايمان الكامل او المستحبات نفي اصل الايمان هو الاعتراض الانسان يجد في صدره حرجا من قضاء رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من حكم عنده اعتراض على شرع الله اذا خالف الحوادث. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كنا يسأل عن معنى لك العتبة حتى ترضى. العتبة اللي هو بمعنى الاستغفار يعني الاستغفار يعني معاتبة النفس ولومها والندم على ما فعل الإنسان. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في دعائه يوم الطائف يقول لك العتبة حتى ترضى يعني يا رب أنا إيه أنا مستغفر وتائب ونادم على ما يعني عملت حتى ترضى عني. قال الله تعالى إيه ولهم مستعتبون يعني مستعتبون يعني تقبل عتباهم لا تقبل توبتهم يعني أهل النار والعياذ بالله تعالى بعد أن دخلوها كافرون بعد أن دخلوا النار. قال الله تعالى عنهم لا يستعتبون يعني مهما إيه طلب الاعتذار واعتذر عن مفعله لا يقطع في يوم القيامة. نعم. السابقون أن هم المقربون. قال تعالى السابقون السابقون إلى أنتم المقربون. درجة واحدة الدرجة العليا هي درجة السابقين المقربين. وهم المحسنون.
This person is asking a question on the prayer of istikhara, the prayer of guidance. He asks whether we should make the supplication during the prayer or after the prayer.
هذا يعني ممكن أن يفسر بأنه قبل السلام أو بعد السلام.
Sorry, he's asking, is it before the salam or after the salam that we should have? Should we make this special supplication to Allah to guide us if we are hung between two decisions? It says that it's best to make the supplication after the salam, after the two rak'ah. You could also make du'as to facilitate the task during the prayer as well. Because one of the purposes of salat is to make du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially a voluntary salat. Then there's a hadith that says, Prophet ﷺ said, be satisfied from whatever Allah has decreed upon you, you'll be amongst the richest people. And this might not mean financially, but this will be in your heart, you'll be the richest of the people.
المؤمن يعني فقير وغني يعني المؤمن فقير إلى الله يعني بمعنى يفتقر إلى الله. الافتقار هو الاحتياج أنت محتاج إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى كل خير يأتيك فهو من الله تعالى. من العبادات القلبية اللي أنت تعبد يعني بافتقارك إلى الله تعالى واحتياجك إليه وطلب حوائجك وتتعبد بمقام الغنى اللي هو الغنى عن الناس غنى النفس يعني لأن الغنى الحقيقي كما قال الإمام الشافعي رحمه الله الغنى عن الشيء لا به الغنى الحقيقي والغنى عن الشيء لا بالشيء مفهوم مستغنيا عن الشيء. لذلك الغنى التام يعني هو غنى الله سبحانه وتعالى. الله تعالى غني عن العالمين فغنى الله سبحانه وتعالى ليس يعني ليس غنى الله لأن الله تعالى يملك السماوات أو يملك الأرض أو الأموال أو النفس هو يملك هذه كل الكون هو ملك لله تعالى لكن ليس هذا هو سبب غنى الله سبحانه وتعالى إنما غناه لأنه غني عن هذا الكون ونبيه سبحانه وتعالى هو إيه؟ يعني غني عن العالمين سبحانه وتعالى يعني لا يحتاج إليهم في شيء سبحانه وتعالى. فالمؤمن يكون غنيا يعني عن الناس، يعني بمعنى ان الانسان لا يشعر باحتياج الى ما ليس عنده، يعني ارضى بما قسم الله لك فكن اغنى. لو ان الانسان قنع بما اعطاه الله، الشيء الذي اعطاك الله تعالى فترضى به ولا تشعر باحتياجك الى شيء ليس عندك فتكون اغنى الناس. والعكس لو ان الانسان لم يرضى بما قسم الله حتى لو كان عنده اموال قارون وهو يعني يطمع في مزيد ويعني يتمنى لو كان عنده اكثر، ونفسه متعلقه باشياء ليست عنده فهو فقير محتاج يعني الى شيء ليس عنده. إمام قرأ في نفس الركعة آيات من أول الكهف ثم آيات من آخرها، هو هذا لا يعتبر إخلالا بالتفكير، يعني ورد يعني فعل هذا عن بعض السلف يعني فعلوا هذا، لكن يعني من فعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقرأ يعني لا يخل يعني لا يترك آيات من نفسه، لكن ورد عن بعض الصحابة رضي الله عنهم كان يعني ربما صلى أحدهم ف يعني يقرأ من أول السورة فإذا أشكلت عليه آية أو فلا يتحطها ويقرأه ما بعدها، يعني فإذا انسان يعني سهى عن آية أو يعني شق عليه استحضار أو تذكرها فيتركها ويقرأ ما بعدها، هذا لا يعتبر من التنكيس الذي يعني يحرم في الصلاة ويخل بالصلاة. التنكيس الذي يحرم أنه يخل بالتأكيد ويقرأ الآية اللي في الآخر قبل الآية اللي في الأول، هذا الذي يخل به صحة في الصلاة ينهى عنها الواحد، يعني آيات من الآخر قبل الآيات الأولى تنكيس له القلب يعني العكس. لكن إذا هو ماشي على تسلسل الآيات فوت بعض الآيات في النص مثلا تركها وانتقل إلى من بعدها في نفس السورة بحيث ما يجيبش آيات يعني متأخرة قبل الآيات المتقدمة.
So this person is asking a question about a person, an imam who prayed and started with the first ayats of Surah Al-Kahf, then moved to the last ayats of Surah Al-Kahf. Is that incorrect? And the Shaykh said that as long as it is in the same order, it's not the best way of doing it, but it's not incorrect. If it was that he inverted the verses, or put, for example, the last verses before the first verses, then that would have been incorrect. And since he started reciting the first verses of the surah, then might have skipped several verses and moved to the end of the surah. The rak'ah itself is not void, but it's not the best way of doing reciting the Quran.
صلى الله عليه وسلم على سيدنا محمد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.